This episode is brought to you by Element, spelled L-M-N-T. What is Element? Let me tell you, it's a delicious, sugar-free, electrolyte drink mix. As a coach, we are constantly trying to find the best products for our athletes to train and compete at their highest level. Element is a great alternative to other commercial recovery and performance drinks and has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, no artificial ingredients, and is gluten-free. With a variety of delicious flavors, you are guaranteed to find one your taste buds will love. I know our athletes love the citrus salt, while my favorite is grapefruit. We keep a variety box in the office, and our athletes stop by every day on their way to practice or games to load up. At this point, they won't even touch another product, and I am replenishing our supply on a weekly basis. Without amazing products and sponsors like Element, our podcast would not be possible. Right now, when you click on our affiliate link and place your first order, Element is giving us a 150% commission. That means if you spend $100, we get $150 to keep this podcast running. The best deal you can get is to buy an insider bundle. You buy three boxes, you get one free. And if you click our affiliate link, drinkelement.com/JustinClimo, we will get a commission and you will get a free sample pack with every purchase. Last thing, Element might have the best return policy on the planet. If you don't love it, you will be instantly refunded. Let's talk about sleep for a minute. I've had a terrible time getting productive rest and sleep for the last few years. And since poor sleep can lead to all sorts of health problems, I'm constantly on the hunt for a better night's sleep. Recently, I came across a new product called Beam Dream, which has delivered the best sleep I've had in a long time. The first time I tried it, I fell asleep on the couch within a half hour and didn't wake up until the next day. Since starting my new routine with Beam, my sleep performance has improved significantly according to both my Oura Ring and Whoop Band. Yes, I use both at once because why not have more data? If you are interested in upgrading your sleep, I invite you to try Beam Dream. Today, my listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder, their best-selling healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Now available in delicious seasonal flavors like cinnamon cacao, sea salt caramel, and white chocolate peppermint. Better sleep has never tasted better. A recent clinical study revealed that 93% of users wake up feeling more refreshed, and 93% reported that Dream helped them get a more restful night's sleep. If you're looking for a way to get some rest and you have trouble sleeping, I highly recommend this product. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, take advantage of their biggest sale of the year and get up to 50% off for a limited time. When you go to shopbeam.com/contacts, discount auto applied at checkout, no code is necessary. That's shopbeam.com/contacts for up to 50% off. If you're a longtime listener, you might know that I've been drinking AG1 for a couple of years. If you're not a longtime listener, then know that I drink AG1 on a daily basis. When I first started drinking it daily, I could feel a real difference in my daily health. I had more energy, I felt more relaxed, I could focus better. That's because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs, like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter and better way to elevate your baseline health. I recommend AG1 to all of my family and friends because it has worked so well for me. So much so that my two eldest children have become regular users of the product. My daughter, who has been studying abroad, recently asked us to bring her more product when we went to visit her at Thanksgiving. My other daughter, who's a freshman in college, regularly contacts us to make sure we send her more product. AG1 has been transformational as it has replaced all of the needless ramekins of vitamins and minerals that I used to take. If you really want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/contacts That's drinkag1.com/contacts to order your own supply and start on your journey to better health. Welcome to the Contacts Coaching Podcast, dedicated to bringing you practical ideas from coaches, sharing what they have learned throughout their career. The show is designed to serve as a digital database of mentorship from a wide network of coaches whose innovative, reflective, and diverse knowledge may offer ideas to enhance your experience. In addition to sport-specific expertise, each episode also dives into the ways in which culture, strategy, and tactics can cross from one discipline to another. I'm your host, Justin Klein. Welcome back to the Contacts Coaching Podcast. We are joined today by Peninsula legend Wesley Johnson, former Pirate coach, current Cougar coach, former Sun Devil. Wesley, thanks for jumping on the call. Let's get out.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You know. Coach, let's go through the journey here. How did you land where you are? How'd you get into coaching? Take me through the process of your journey to being in the seat that you're in and all the twists and turns that come along with that.
Oh, it's quite the story, actually. I started coaching fourth grade flag football when I was in high school through the Next Level Sports flag football program. Went to Palma High School. Coach Carnazzo gave us the opportunity to coach and get on that platform. I took a liking to it, enjoyed it a lot. And then there was another program that I was involved in, at a Johnson Tony football camp, formerly known as the Herm Edwards football camp, I grew up in, got a little older, embraced the coaching role there, started there at about 15, and I just took a liking to it. I liked how the kids responded to me. I liked having fun with those guys and then just sharing that experience with my peers. So got into it that way. Going into my senior year of high school football, I was diagnosed with a cardiovascular condition, held me to the sideline, but I had a guy behind me that I needed to get ready sooner than later. So I took it upon myself to get him acclimated as soon as I could, as fast as I could. Saw some results in that, built a bond with him. And then when I got into junior college after that, I was given a good opportunity by you. Got into coaching there. I was 19, going to MPC, and I was helping out with the JV and varsity football programs at Stevenson, helping with receivers and defensive backs, and then also quarterbacks a little bit. And when it was time for me to transfer out to my four-year school, I contacted real Peninsula legend, Herm Edwards, who was the head coach at Arizona State at the time. And he was gracious enough to give me an opportunity to help in recruiting. And from there, I was promoted into the defensive staff, helped there for 2 years, was working under names of Marvin Lewis, Antonio Pierce, guys of that name. So that was really fun. That was a good opportunity. Learned a ton from them. Grew a lot within that workspace. And when it was time for me to graduate, transferred out, got to BYU. And now I'm here as a graduate assistant, helping out with the defensive backs, and couldn't be happier. I love where I'm at.
Awesome. Thanks for setting that up. Let's go back to when you first started doing this, and not when you were still in high school, but when you came over here and as a 19-year-old, you're a year removed from high school and now coaching. What did you realize right away that you needed to figure out?
I realized that I needed to be respected more than I needed to be liked. That was the first thing that resonated with me. I realized that the players took a liking to me and saw that I was like the quote unquote cool young coach, but I needed to set a bar there, set a line, establish myself as an authority figure and just figure out how to best walk that line, still be able to be personable with them, but at the same time have high expectations. So I learned that very soon. And I just realized that I needed to be involved in the culture setting that Coach Kasmus had set out. And I just stuck to that as best I could. And if it wasn't for me having those conversations with him, having those conversations with you and embracing that leadership role, I don't think I would be where I'm at without it.
And As you transitioned up the ladder, so to speak, when you got to ASU, and you're still a young guy, you're still an undergrad. Even now, you're still in grad school in theory. It's like, how is that situation where, hey, there's got to be boundaries. We're not peers, even though I'm young. Like, how has that played out as you've gone to different places? How do you maintain that? What things have you learned in regards to establishing those boundaries? And what have you tried that didn't work? What have you tried that worked for people that are listening to this that maybe are young as well getting into this thing?
Something that I tried that didn't work was probably just trying to be too cool. I don't want to say trying to be too cool, but trying to be too cool in a sense, just trying to, you know, be their friend and more so than trying to be the authority figure. But I think as time went on, I realized that I needed to set expectations for them. So I think what helped for me was just goal setting for myself, goal setting for them, holding them to a high standard, and then just understanding that you can always exceed your expectations. When I had those conversations with those guys on a personable level, because I did have that rapport with the players, and just let them know that I have these goals set out for you. I want you to accomplish these things. And once they saw that I was holding them to the same standard as the head coach and the full staff, just buying in to the message that was being passed down, then they understood that, okay, Wes is just as serious about this as Coach Herm, as Coach Kasmus, as Coach Satake, where I am now. So just kind of being able to be stern and to hold those guys accountable. I think I had a hard time having those uncomfortable conversations early on. And I have grown in that aspect of it, just understanding that if I don't be transparent with them and then give them exactly how it is, then I'm doing them a disservice and letting them get away with things that they may not get away with at the next level, so to speak. So I feel like if I only helped them in football, if I only let them coast and let them do those things, that I did them a disservice. So I'm just trying my best to be a good teacher, and then to be a good mentor to those guys too. And then leading by example is part of it as well for me. So
you mentioned that learning how to have those difficult conversations was something you had to grow into. What have you learned about that? What did you used to shy away from that now you lean right into because you figured out like it's actually easier to just dive right into the mess?
I used to shy away from the reactions that I would receive from those guys with fear of them not being able to look at me the same way. Because like I said a little earlier, I was more so fixated on being, like I said, being the cool coach, being liked, and being somebody that they could come to if they just wanted to have a conversation or joke around or whatever the case was. But I think me growing into that and leaning more into that, they saw the level of seriousness that I was taking to it, and they saw the standard that I was holding them to as players. Once I was able to lean into those uncomfortable conversations and have those a little more, they understood what the expectations were, what the standards were, and my intent behind the things that I was doing. I've never hammered, get on a guy and then yell at him. I'll talk to him. If it is stern, then it is whatever it is. But I always come up to you after the case, put my arm around you and tell you that I love you, tell you that I understand why you did these things, but here's why we need to do things this way, just for the betterment of the team and then for them beyond the sport.
And what did you learn for yourself upon staring those down right away versus avoiding them that you are now putting into practice as you go through your day to day?
I learned that it was good for me. It was good for me to be transparent with them. And then I learned that it was giving me more of an opportunity to just be a teacher to them, to lean into those things a little more. And then I also just had a better understanding of how they responded to me. So that was more of it. Just seeing, they were like, all right, Wes is kind of serious. He's never serious. We got to tighten up a little bit. So they knew what I was expecting of them. And then I learned that I'm okay with having those conversations. The more that I had them, I learned that I, even though it is uncomfortable initially, maybe for both of us, that I know that there's going to be something good that comes out of that conversation. Even though it is uncomfortable, it's going to be beneficial in the end.
And also, I think you could even speak to this as a player. The thing that I have found to be the biggest concern voiced is lack of clear role definition, right? And lack of clear, direct communication where they're almost grasping at straws to read between the lines of what you're saying versus you just hit them between the eyes with it. And it's okay. Now you have clarity and you can operate and walk in partnership together.
Yes. Yeah. I think being direct, just being straight to the point about it with those guys gave them a better sense of understanding of what we were expecting of them, like what we want to see, and then how we should carry ourselves amongst our peers. And then instead of moving on outside of sports, because a lot of these things carry over to real life. You're going to have uncomfortable conversations in real life. You're going to have to face things that you're not necessarily wanting to lean into in real life, but you realize that once you get through that uncomfortability phase, that there's going to be something good for you in the end of it.
All right, let's pivot to this. So as a offensive guy growing up and playing,
yeah,
and after you left here, you found yourself on the defensive side of the ball. Talk a little bit about that transition, how that opened up your eyes to certain things, how that made you a better coach, how that gave you greater understanding of offense, or whatever else you've had to figure out over the last 3 years as you shifted from everything that you had known to, oh, hey, let me go figure this out.
Yeah, it helped me to realize how much I didn't know. So that was part of it, too, just accepting that growth and leaning into that challenge. But I think converting, like going from playing receiver and coaching receivers and then helping with linebackers and then defensive backs, and now it just gave me a better understanding of what offenses are trying to do schematically. So playing defense, obviously the techniques and the coverages and terminology is different. But I think one thing that carried over was just my understanding of what offenses are trying to get out of certain formations, certain route concepts. So I leaned into that a little bit, and that was what I used to guide me through the understanding of conceptualizing defense. I think it was tough for me at first. I'd be lying if I said I had it all figured out now. I definitely don't. But it gave me a good basis. It gave me a good basis of just regards to spacing of routes and spacing of alignments, type of stuff that you can anticipate. And then I was able to, even though I wasn't fully polished in my first few years as a defensive assistant, I was able to offer an offensive perspective to those defensive players. So that carried over, it helped me a ton. And I feel like they respected me because I didn't act like I knew the defense. I just taught what I knew really well and stuck to that. And then I would pick at people's brains, pick at Coach Lewis's brain and Coach Pierce and all AG, Coach Garnett, and just learn from those guys over time. But those first few years, I just had to lean on my previous knowledge and then pick and pull from those guys as time progressed.
What we're able to transfer, let's say, from being an offensive guy to coaching defense, from being with the linebackers to now with the DBs. Obviously, there's specific skills to each position, but there's probably a lot of transferability as well. What are some of the things that you realized without necessarily having a plan to do it that, you know what, this is the same thing. This is how we're going to teach this because it's just easier to pick up that way.
Effort and physicality. Effort and physicality carried offense, defense, special teams. If you're giving max effort on offense, running your route to your best ability, defensively, you're 11 hats to the football, and then special teams, and said you're doing your assignment. And then I think another thing that carried over was just understanding, having a better understanding of your best understanding of your technique, executing that, and then your pre-snap alignments. I think alignment, assignment, and technique carry over to all three phases of the game. So that's something that I realized very fast, that if you're misaligned, if you're playing safety and you miss a pick by 2 yards and you're misaligned, you're off the hash by 2 yards, that's your misalignment. That could be the difference between a 60-yard touchdown and a 60-yard pick six. I just realized that pretty early on, honestly. I saw that and then saw the coaching points of just effort and physicality and getting aligned right. And that kind of carries over to, like I said, all the phases of the game.
What would you say is or is not transferable from the high school to the college game and vice versa, right? You cut your teeth coaching high school. You went and coached college. Now, if you were to go back to coach high school, what are some of the things that definitely transfer, and what are some that's just, look, it's not worth the squeeze to try to do this given X?
I think in college you can be more of a multiple defense because you're dealing with more mature players, more experienced players for that. But at the high school level, I think you just have to have a few things that you that are your core bread and butter and just excel in those rather than trying to do too much. And the same thing at this level. If you do too much, then you're just okay at everything. You're not going to be great at anything. So you just want to be able to master one kick 1,000 times and trying to master 1,000 kicks. It's just put yourself in a better position if you're able to hone in on what you're what you strongly believe in, what you know you can coach, and then you just apply those to your team, and the coach and then the players have a better understanding of what's expected of them and their assignments and their roles. And there's no self-doubt. They understand what they need to do. Whereas if you throw too much at them, their heads are going to be spinning.
No, I think universally simplicity wins. And what does simplicity look like, depending on the levels, is obviously a little bit wider, maybe a little more complex, but still simple. And as soon as you try to get cute, you just end up confusing everybody. Let me pivot here to what you've been able to take away from some of the minds you've been surrounded by. So obviously, you've worked for a couple of Hall of Famers, worked with the guy that's currently the new coach of the Raiders. You've got this pedigree, so to speak. Talk a little bit about some of these mentors and what you've specifically been able to take away from them and apply to your own coaching journey and approach.
I think Coach Edwards taught me the importance of just understanding your role and doing your job. That was something that he would always preach, harp on constantly. Know your role, do your job. Just understand exactly what's expected of you and do that to your best ability. I think Coach Pierce, he did a really good job of influencing those guys to give max effort. He would always tell those guys, leave the tank empty. That would be a slide that he would put on his night before the game presentation. He'd put it on every single week. It would be a picture of a gas tank on E, and he would say, leave the tank empty. And we say, we're building brick by brick every day. So just take your assignments. Don't do too much at once, but just take your journey one step at a time. Build your village brick by brick, and then let everything fall where it may. But I think those are the things that I learned from those two. And then Coach Satake, more than anything, he learned, what I've learned from him is just be a good person. Just carry yourself to your best ability in and outside the building, because at the end of the day, we want to win with people. We don't want to win with the best five-star athlete that they may have some issues here or there. We want to win with people that want to be here and people that are willing to buy into the program and do good service in their community and then be good leaders in the classroom and the on the football field. And I think that's what I learned from him more so than anybody else, is just be a good person, be compassionate, be empathetic, and always give your best and then demand the same out of your peers.
What would you say you have learned from your athletes over the course of your coaching career, both back here and every stop you've made upon the way? Is there a couple of anecdotes you can share of where you had like a transformational moment that was almost reverse coaching?
Yeah, I think, I don't want to say his name because I don't want to air him out, but there was somebody that I was coaching at Stevenson who was a really good athlete, had all the ability in the world, but he would get a little down on himself at times. And there was one time, there was a turning point in the game where he had maybe had two or three drops, and I put my arm around him on the sideline and just told him that, hey, we don't win without you. This team needs you. We're leaning on you, and we need your leadership, and we need your fortitude to get through this game. I think that more so taught me that there's going to be highs and lows of a game, but it's just a matter of you staying even keel, regardless of how good, how bad it may look or how it's going to turn out. You just need to give your max effort, continue to do your job, and then everything will fall into place in that regard. I think I was just so used to coming from Pullman, playing the position I played. I felt good about my assignments. I felt good about everything that was expected of me. And I thought that I'm sure I could go back and see some mistakes that I made, but I thought that I was doing the right thing and then just keeping your mental fortitude. I thought that was just a given thing. But then I learned how there's different personalities that you're going to be dealing with. Obviously, just like there are different personalities off the field, they're going to react to things differently on the field. So I just more so managed I learned how to manage personalities, be personable, and then just have different approaches for different people. And I figured out how to get the best out of different athletes, different student athletes. And they respected me for making that attempt to relate to them and understand them on another level.
I think that's very mature statement in regards to understanding that there are different personalities and you got to meet them where they are, right? You said you want your athletes to be good people. You're coaching people, right? And so there's an approach that's, I do this all the time and they can adjust. And then there's fair is not equal, right? And so how do you figure out what buttons to push? And what works for Wesley might not work for Evan, right? So how do you navigate that? And what are some ways in which you've discovered that over the last few years in regards to a particular approach that was working or wasn't working and how you had to adjust?
I strongly believe in positive reinforcement. So that was something that I learned early on, is you can't just harp on them and yell on them and yell at them and expose them and embarrass them all the time. Like even if you do that, you can't just leave that where it is. You're going to have a conversation with them after the fact. You're going to have to put your arm around them and explain to them what the expectations are, what the standard is. And I think when you have those conversations with them outside of the sports setting, I think that they're a little calmer and they have an opportunity to listen to you. And then I also think that I was doing a lot of talking and not a ton of listening early on. And I think once I created that environment for an open dialogue and just became a better listener to those players, I was able to adjust my approach and figure out the best way to attend to them. So I think I became a better speaker, a better coach when I became more attentive and just started listening to them a little more. So I was able to cater my approach to each player.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, that's an experienced skill that you've developed at a younger age. Let me ask this. What have you most recently changed your mind on? Meaning, I used to be dug in over here.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm over here and here's why, right? What's the growth mindset like? And I'm sure there's a number of different things, but things that
I got one
you have front of mind.
Yeah. So when I first got into it, I was like, man, the head coach sounds so fun. Head coach. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do that anymore as much. I don't want to do that right now, at least. I feel like that could be subject to change as time changes, because obviously your perspectives change and your experience changes and all those things. But now that I'm a little more into it, a little deeper into it, I would much rather be in the role of a position coach or a coordinator, just to give myself that opportunity to build those personal relationships and have my group of guys. And then just focus on football and not have to do all the handshaking and baby kissing that comes with being the coach. I think for me to be my best head coach, I think I need to go through those ranks and experience those things at different levels. So I like where I'm at right now as an assistant coach in the corners room. I think that's a really good opportunity for me. And Coach Guilford does an awesome job. Gennaro Guilford, he does an awesome job of giving me opportunities to speak in the room and kind of building those skills, and teaches me things off the field and teaches me technique, and I'm developing in that role. But I think, yeah, head coach, that's for later down the road. I like position coach and coordinator right now because it gives me an opportunity to pour into a specific group of guys, and then I can be more attentive to them and just figure out where I need to meet them. Whereas if I'm a head coach, so you got to do all the PR stuff. You got to relate to 140 players. When this time of year, we have 140 players right now. So you got to be able to do all those things. And I can't be everywhere at once. But if I'm a position coach or a coordinator, I could be right where I'm at, have a good understanding of who my group is. And then I could just manage those personalities and players within that group with the coaches, if I'm a coordinator, and the players. And then if I'm a position coach, then I would just be managing those players, and I would be able to pour out my best to them if I was in that role right now. But that's, yeah, I thought head coach all along, and then I got into it and I was like, why did I think that?
Because that's the natural progression as, hey, this is where I want to go long term. And you're right. Your timeline's going to be what your timeline is, but the one thing that you mentioned without mentioning is when you become the head coach, like you're not coaching football anymore. You're
You're not.
now running an organization. And so if you like coaching football, take your time, because once you get the higher you climb on the proverbial ladder there, the less coaching you actually get to do.
Yeah. And I had no idea until I got a chance. Like I said, you started at Stevenson, and I was given that opportunity to have that exposure and see how things operate, even at that level. I was like, man, Cass has to do everything. He's got to teach fourth grade, and he's got a lot on his plate, and he's coaching O-line, and we're going out there with 25, 26 players doing a half line, and he's playing left guard, and I'm playing receiver and quarterback. And I'm like, man, he's wearing a lot of hats right now. Like, I my level of respect grew tremendously for head coaches once I got into it and saw all the hats that the head coach has to wear.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, man, let me ask one more question here. And this is my soapbox is, what have you learned watching other sports that you've been able to apply to your coaching or to your athletes? Often, I think in this era of sports specialization, both athletes and coaches get tunnel vision that, so I can only learn from other football coaches, or I can only learn from other basketball coaches in my sense. And it's what's out there that's right around you that you could pick up on a day-to-day basis just by being curious while the tennis team is practicing.
Yeah, I think attention to detail is something that's honed in on at all sports. I think sports, I'm a believer in sports complement each other. I think if you're in high school and you're an athlete, you should be playing as many sports as possible because you're giving yourself an opportunity to be exposed to these different sports. You're not beating down on your body, on one part of your body all year. You're getting these opportunities. But I think one thing that carries over from sport to sport that I've seen is just attention to detail and then just will to win. Like, winners are winners, regardless of what the sport is. I think having that confidence and just trusting in your preparation, regardless of what the sport is, I think that plays a big part in your level of success that you have on the field. So it's just a matter of you get what you put into it. You have to invest in yourself, and you're going to have to do some unfavorable things sometimes. Like, you might want to hang out with your friends one weekend, but you might have to recover also. You might have to watch film or whatever the case is. So it's just making those sacrifices, those time sacrifices, and understanding that your day to day is not the same as, a regular student's day to day, and just buying into that, to the process of growth. I think that carries over to all sports, and something that I've seen be applicable from our basketball team, who just got a big win last night, to our football team. And I think just togetherness and then just being bought into the culture and the program. And like I said, taking care of your body, that plays a big part in it too.
Indeed. All right. I know it's late there. I'm gonna let you get back to it. Thanks for being on today. Looking forward to seeing you when you get back out here to God's country.
Appreciate it, man.
This episode is brought to you by Element, spelled LMNT. What is Element? It's a delicious sugar-free electrolyte drink mix. As a coach, we are constantly trying to find the best products for our athletes to train and compete at their highest level. Element is a great alternative to other commercial recovery and performance drinks, and has enough sodium, potassium, and magnesium to get you feeling and performing your best. Plus, it has zero sugar, no artificial ingredients, and is gluten-free. With 8 delicious flavors, you're guaranteed to find one your taste buds will love. I know our athletes love the citrus salt. We keep a variety box in the office, and our athletes stop by every day on their way to practice and games to load up. At this point, they won't even touch another electrolyte product. Without amazing products and sponsors like Element, our podcast would not be possible. Right now, when you click on our affiliate link and place your first Element order, Element will give us 100% commission. Last thing, Element might have the best return policy on the planet. If you don't love it, you'll be instantly refunded.